the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Genesis chapter 32. This was a moment of reality in Jacob's life. He wove for himself a very clever kind of safety net, a net where he thought he would be secure. He wanted some blessing, the blessings of Abraham. He wanted material blessing. He was very clever at getting it. And finally came the moment of truth. You know, any true encounter with God is a reality check. We don't like reality checks. Let me tell you, because strange things turn up when you have a true reality check. Here, the 32nd chapter begins this way, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, your servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet you, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." So here was a time of reckoning when he was going to meet his brother, whom he had double-crossed, as the old word saying went, deceived. And so we see a Jacob who wants to be alone. You know, when people are distressed, they run helter-skelter, hither, thither, and they try to find somebody on whose shoulder they might weep. Really, at many conferences, people are looking around for some shoulder to weep on. That's not going to help, because the person whose shoulder you have selected is probably the very person who needs to weep on somebody else's shoulder or is looking round for one. when we really come to a standstill at the end of our ways, then we want God's word. What does God say? We know all the things that people say. Some of them are just words of flattery. You know, we love to be flattered. That's very unfortunate that when a man is really sick and x-ray is ordered, x-ray, of course, goes right in, and a CAT scan and this, that, and the other. We have any number of such devices today. You want the exact nature of the trouble and the seat of it to be discovered. But when we come to God, it's not always that way. We are disinclined to remove the covers. What do we gain thereby? We only gain further loss of life and time. You see, we are really closer to eternity, aren't we? Every breath closer to eternity. And is that the time to hide? No. Is that the time to conceal? No. Is that the time to postpone and defer things? No. It is high time that we really get alone with God. You know, I simply can't have enough time alone with God. Sometimes the hours fly, and you know the devil does not want you to get alone with God. He has his own intrusive ways of sending his henchmen, to distract or to get you to deviate or digress. But one has got to get away from some of these very obvious intrusions of Satan. You see, we can't be so blind and we can't be fooled all the time. There must be an end to it somewhere. When we say, hey, I need a reality check. I need to see why my life is not productive in terms of eternity. All right, we are very concerned about what we produce monetarily and other things that we try to gather around ourselves to secure ourselves. But in terms of the things of eternity, what is our actual fruit-bearingness or productivity? Irreversible corrective action. Look at your life, my friend. Did you ever put into place irreversible corrective action? Probably you never heard of such a thing. If you did, think of the progress you would be making. It wouldn't be a pie in the sky anymore. How sad. In terms of eternity and fruitfulness, we never think of irreversible corrective action. That is, we never make the same mistake again. We never speak the same stupid things again. We never entertain that old thought of hatred again. We never get into that slough of resentment or pride again. Do we know any such spiritual measures that you have ever taken? You see, Jacob simply did not know irreversible corrective action. It would be just going over the same rigmarole, old thing again. That's it. Old lapses, old failures. Now, dear friends, we see Jacob here. Let us read chapter 32 and verse 22. He rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob was left alone. You see how he disentangled himself in a very tricky situation. When a man normally seeks shelter in numbers. See, don't we seek shelter in numbers? With which you kind of find security or put aside. And you say, I want the Lord. I want to be alone with the Lord. You see, friends, I don't know if you have even come to that position. But don't you think life is a serious business? And also an opportunity that quickly passes away? How fleeting is this opportunity? But how quickly life passes. And especially if you are intent on doing something concrete, apart from this usual thing of gathering a little money, you know. That's all people are intent upon. But when money has no currency or value in heaven, where you are going, what you have amassed and what you have worked for is worth nothing. Just to think of it, it seems so stupid to me that I should work and labor, or anybody should work or labor. I have never labored for money. But work and labor till you're dog tired, as you would say, and all for something which counts for nothing in eternity. Is that the sensible thing? Is that the sensible thing to do with the one life that God has given us? Surely not. So, dear friends, when we get alone with God, that shows that we are really come to a point of some understanding. At last, understanding has trickled down to us. So you can be sure, next time you recall what you heard today, we are here to get alone with God, to encounter God.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.